This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Well, you survived another weekend back here on the radio on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Monday morning, Cinco de Mayo. Today. So maybe you're going out and celebrating, however you do that. Maybe having a few drinks today. Either way, glad to be with you, Sal Capaccio, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are here. It's May. It was actually May last week, but now it's like the first full week of May. We're already into May. This weather is, gotta get warmer here. It was a chilly weekend. It's gonna get warmer, I promise. That's what happens this time of year. We had a chilly weekend, though. It's some rain this weekend. I want to tell you about the Micah Hyde charity softball game yesterday a little bit today. And great turnout once again this past weekend. But want to welcome back in also Josh Schmidt, my producer. Sal Capaccio with you. Josh, you were off for a few days.
I was.
You told me this morning when I jumped on with Jeremy and Joe, you said, I am sore. Why are you sore?
Well, so this past weekend, me and four of my friends went to the Black Forest North Loop Trail down in Pennsylvania and hiked 27 miles across 3 days. We backpacked it.
Wow.
It was quite the experience. And I would 100% do it again, but yes, I am very sore this morning. My calves are killing me. I have terrible blisters on my feet, and I can't, it's one of those feelings where you like can't get comfortable, like no matter how you're sitting. Like that's how I've been feeling for the last like 24 hours. It was rough, but you know, I loved it, and I would 100% do it again.
I love it. That's great. Did you take some, like, I know that's the physical toll. How about just mentally being away and kind of disconnected? How was that for you?
Oh, that was awesome too. Like because we didn't have any service there basically. Like there was a couple parts where we got to like the top of the mountain, or one of the mountains, I guess, because we climbed technically two mountains. Mountains, I guess, maybe that's a bit of a loose term. I went up eight.
Okay, you're not climbing Everest, but it's still a mountain range.
We went up 1,000 feet twice. Right. Like we went down 1,000 feet and up 1,000 feet twice. So like for me, being the first time doing that, that was a lot. But when we got to the tops of those, we were getting some service and stuff. So I'd check in, be like, hey, I'm alive. You know, I'd check in with my girlfriend, my parents, whatever. But other than that, my phone was in my bag and off the entire weekend because you guys had rain here and we had like downpours down there, which was
Yes.
That was an experience within itself because you're just soaked to the bone, and it's not like you can go inside and take a shower and then dry off. It's like you are just wet and you're stuck like that forever. Unless you brought a towel, which I didn't, you're just kind of stuck like that until you dry out. So it was an awesome experience, but I don't think I'd ever do it again in the rain. But it was a really good time.
Yeah, but you did it, right? It's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you did it, right?
It was a great accomplishment. Like, it was just such a fun thing to be able to say, like, yeah, I was able to do that, and I was able to, like, you know,
I love it.
Have a fun time while also doing that.
I love it, man. Good for you. Good for you. Good to get away, disconnect a little bit. I say, I one time years ago, I actually went skydiving. I jumped out of a plane with a parachute. Somebody was attached to me. It's what they call the not duo. I can't remember the tandem skydive, and. I feel the same way, which is like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did that. I will never do it again. You know what I mean? Like, I did it. It was great. It was an amazing feeling. I'll never do it again because it was scary as heck. And just say, like, you checked it off, kind of a bucket list or whatever, just something that you did in your life. And you're like, that's amazing. So yeah, you might do it again, not in the rain, you know, maybe you have a different experience, but I think in the rain, it adds to the accomplishment, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And that adds to more of the challenge because you got to watch your step a little bit more. And it was just also like kind of the fun of it of like, you know, like when you're out in the rain, you're like, okay, I got to get inside. I got to get to my car. I got to get to my house. I got to get wherever I'm going. But like when you know there's nowhere to go, basically, you just kind of accept it. And you're like, all right, yeah, this is fine. Like eventually you just kind of become like, okay, this is my life. Like this is what I'm going to be living in for the next, you know, 8 hours. Because that's kind of like how it was raining. It was very on and off rain for about 8 hours Saturday. So it was just this kind of like, you have to mentally just adapt to that. And it was a really interesting process for me to be able to do that. And then, like I said, it's just kind of like given me like this whole new perspective on things. And, to go to the skydiving point, I would never do that. That's like the one thing I would never, ever be able to do.
I wouldn't bungee jump. I don't know why, but I did skydive, but I wouldn't bungee jump. You know what I mean? I don't know why. Yeah. I just feel like it's like a little bit more like, I don't know if I trust this.
Right.
Skydive thing, you know, the people who are doing it, the guy was tandem jumper. He's a professional jumper with me, right? You know what I mean? So I wouldn't do it on my own, but I did it, you know, with somebody. This is like almost 20 years ago now I did that. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that at this point. So there's a lot of things in life like we can, you know, kind of point to and say, I want to do that. And if you do, great. It's amazing. And like, all right, I did it. I'm kind of done with that. Good for you, man. Glad you did that. Where's this? The Black Forest Mountains, they're called?
The Black Forest North Loop Trail. I can't remember exactly the name of the forest itself. Like the whole park. It started with a T. I'll see if I can figure it out here for you. But it was down in Pennsylvania, just about 40 minutes outside of Williamsport, actually, where they play the Little League World Series. We were pretty close to Cowdersport, if anyone knows where that is. But
I definitely do. I mean, actually, that shows up sometimes on your weather maps when you go turn on 247 and they do the weather and like, oh yeah, down in Cowdersport, they actually talk about that little area down there when they're doing the weather. We had some dicey weather this weekend for the Micah Hyde softball game. Want to talk about that? How that went down, and thank the great folks who put it on, and of course WGR was a part of that as well, and I was the on-field MC as always. Had a great time with that, but want to throw out a little bit of a question today as we inch towards the end of this week. We're just at the beginning of the week, but as we inch towards the end, the Bills are having rookie minicamp at the end of this week. And the dust has kind of settled on the draft, right? Remember, the draft was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then you had Sunday to digest it. Then Monday, we have the Brandon Bean interview on WGR last week. And that kind of carried the week. And everybody was talking about that. And of course, for good reason, I totally understand. But now we're a week past the draft. We're past a week past the draft. And all the talk's been out there, whether that's that particular interview or anything else. You also have, you know, all the talking heads analyzing the draft. You get grades from Mel Kiper and Dane Brugler. And I've generally seen the Bills grade floating anywhere from B minus to A, right? I mean, so who knows? I've seen the Bills get A's and people go, oh my God, the Bills really crushed the draft. And I've seen people give them B minuses and say, I don't think they really did a great job. So these things can always be very, very subjective. I always like to say, I don't grade the draft. I don't give them a grade. I'm not smarter than that. I don't think I am. I have my own opinions on, you know, players, I guess, but I'm not doing all the film work. I'm not bringing them in for interviews, those kinds of things. And I always try to come from a perspective. Okay, let's see, why did they take this guy or that guy? But that's what I want to ask you today. We are now over a week past the NFL draft. How do you think the Bills did? Now that you've settled in, did you like it at first, not like it now? Did you not like it and then like it? Is it, oh yeah, you know what? I think they really did a great job here. And if you want to touch on any particular player you're excited about or anything like that, we can do that as well. 803-0550 is the number to call. You could tweet me at Sal Sports. I tweeted something out about that as well earlier. So, you know, feel free to come along on Twitter if you want, /X at Sal Sports, and I'll read some of those. And that is always getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Coming up at 10:30 today, Sal Marana. It's already been a week since we started our regular, we got to have some sort of name for the new Sal Marana segment. I don't know what we can call it.
Sal Squared.
Sal Squared. I was going to say two Sals, one radio, you know, something like that. I'm not sure. Sal Squared is good. I like Sal Squared. We could call it Sal Squared. We'll do that for now. So Sal Squared comes your way at 10:30. So that's Sal Marana. He is from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. And, you know, every year we get people saying, hey, it's, you know, off season. What do you talk about? Yeah, they got Bills and Sabres, of course. And we'll get into that today a little bit, too, because Paul Hamilton's going to come away your way at 11 a.m. We got NHL playoffs going on. We got the NHL draft lottery tonight. So a lot going on there. But, you know, it's baseball season and people want to talk about baseball. And we don't devote a ton of attention and time to it. And I think for a lot of good reason, but a lot of you sometimes say, hey, you know, if you could touch on some baseball. So we do that with Sal. Sal has his own Yankees newsletter, but also just baseball in general. Yankees did not have a good weekend. So we'll get Sal's thoughts on that. He's always no filtered when it comes to his Yankees and also baseball in general and the Bills and rookie minicamp coming up this week. And that's why I wanted to talk about the rookies this week and the draft, because the Bills have rookie minicamp this week. And the rookies will be here basically the 9th and the 10th. I think it's those 2 days, but media will be down there on the 9th. We'll get our chance to talk to some rookies, interview them for the first time. What was it like? We'll watch some on-field stuff. Your first glance at some of these rookies. I remember last year, I remember this actually. I tweeted out a video last year of Keon Coleman catching a fade pass. Actually, you know what? That might have been OTAs. I think it was OTAs. I'm sorry. It wasn't rookie minicamp, but I tweeted out Keon Coleman catching a pass. And he did a great job to turn, high point it, toe tap in the end zone. And it kind of went kind of sort of viral, like maybe not the viral like the Xavier Worthy getting pushed around one. But people were like, oh, my God, this is a great athlete he is. Then others were like, oh, my God, he's doing it against air. Who cares? Right. Like that's what you get this time of year, the overanalyzation. But it's always good to just to see them in uniform out there on the field for the first time. And yes, that's the rookies under contract that they will be signing to undrafted free agent contracts. It's the rookies they've drafted who aren't signed yet. They will still be out there. It's not like they're doing a lot of things that are getting them hurt. We know how this works. They go out, they have a rookie mini camp. These guys have like insurance and things like that that they go through, and that's how they get on the field before their actual contract is signed. Some rookies will actually sign a contract before we get to rookie mini camp. That is happening this week around the league. And then there's these tryout players, these rookie tryout players that they can bring to camp. And that's where Joe Andreessen was found last year. He came to rookie camp on a tryout, and the Bills found him, and they wound up saying, hey, this, you know, we're going to sign him to a 90-man roster contract, and he did, and then he ultimately made the team, which was incredible, right? So you never know who you're going to get. You'll see, like, the Bills bringing in a quarterback or two to rookie minicamp. They have four quarterbacks on the roster, folks, but those quarterbacks can't participate in rookie minicamp. Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky, Mike White, and Shane Buechel, because they've been in the league too long. So you have to bring guys that you can't have. You need someone to throw the ball. That's why you'll see things like that. You know, and that gives a guy an opportunity to show what he can do. And maybe the team says, oh, you know what? We'll keep you in mind down the road if something happens. Or maybe a phone call is made to another team. Hey, you know, if you're looking for a guy, you know, this guy did a great job in our camp. I don't know how much you'd help a team out like that per se, but, you know, just to get the guy out, just to get his guy's name out there and you help him out a little bit if there's some connections. So those things happen as well. I also found out this weekend, somebody asked me, over social media on Twitter, and thank you for asking. I can't remember the person, but somebody asked me, do the Bills get 91 players this year instead of 90 because of Travis Clayton? The answer is yes. So the Bills don't just get 90 again this year. They get 91. Most teams do now in the NFL. I think every team is allowed one international player now, the way the rules work. But Travis Clayton, who the Bills drafted last year, does count as an international pathways program player, just an international player. The Bills do get 91 players on their roster, not just 90. They're at 89 right now. So they have two open roster spots. But that includes all the rookies, all the UDFAs that I'm counting that they're going to bring in. There's reported 12 UDFAs. We know there were 9 draft picks. So let's see what you think about how they did in the draft. 803-0550 is the number to call here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good to be with you. Sal Capaccio with you on a Monday. We already had, we already had one. JP, draft look great. Let's get these guys in the gym. Why are they too small for you? I think some big guys, some smaller guys than Max Harrison. Thanks, JP. I really appreciate it. We have Rick says, there's a team in Buffalo who's playing for the championship for the fifth straight time. They're currently back-to-back champions. I know that. That's the Bandits. And we'll be carrying those games. We talked about them. We had some people on to talk about it. And as the week goes on, we'll do a little bit more about that. So thank you, Rick. I appreciate that, and I know that. And it was an amazing time last year to go to the final game when they won the championship. But, yep, the Bandits are back in the NLL championship. Pretty awesome. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate that. We're not ignoring them. But today we're talking a little bit about rookie minicamp and the rookies and the draft picks and a lot of other things going on here, especially when we get to the 11 o'clock hour and Paul Hamilton on maybe some changes that haven't been made with the Sabres and the draft lottery tonight. Tim and Clarence is first up. Hi, Tim. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
How you doing today? Thanks for taking my call. I think Brandon Bean personally did a great job with the draft. I think what your average fan doesn't realize that these kids that come out of college, the pros are the elite of the elite. So a lot of guys that are drafted like, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round, you don't know what they're going to do. It's a crapshoot. But I think he did a great job. I am really, really looking forward to next season because I think if we're going to win a Super Bowl, and I've been a fan, I mean, I'm going to be 70 years old, I think we can do it next year. What do you think?
Well, listen, I think anytime you have Josh Allen, you have a chance to do it any year. That's the way I think. And I think the Bills feel that way. And I think the Bills made a concerted effort to really over the last 2 years. Let's be honest, folks. I think last year, I mean, when you think about last year, and I remember actually tweeting this during the season last year. I said that, you know, that last year was supposed to be kind of be the step back year for a lot of people. And look where they are and look what they're doing. And that was reflective in some of the betting odds. You know, they kind of ripped the Band-Aid off last year and said, we're just going to kind of remake this roster a little bit because of age and financials. And they kind of did that with releasing at the time, Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, Gabe Davis in free agency, trade Stephon Diggs, Saran Neal, right? All these guys were kind of core players for the last several years. And it was like, what are they going to do? Where are they going to be? But yeah, Josh Allen, he wins the league MVP. Now you get to this year and what did they do? They extended, they projected a year out and said, all right, we're extending these guys. They knew what they needed to do this year, last year, which is why you extended Christian Benford, Terrell Bernard, Greg Rousseau, Khalil Shakir. And then they bring in this infusion of defensive talent. This is kind of the new core, right? So the Bills had this bit of a era of Josh Allen, his first, you know, 6 years in the league, and that may be a transition year. And now it's a new core for the next 5-6 years that they're hoping to win a Super Bowl with him. Yes, of course, multiple, right? But you want one. You're hoping to win a Super Bowl. Get there. Win one with Josh Allen for this maybe 5 years or so in his prime that he has remaining. And I think that's why a lot of these moves were made during this offseason, including Allen himself, by the way, who was extended a 6-year contract extension. So, yeah, Tim, I look, when you say I think this is the year, I think any year can be the year when you have Josh Allen. That's how the Bills are approaching it. And when you're getting to the playoffs, getting as close as the Bills have, and continually knock on the door and can't get there, a lot of times you could make a lot of changes to step back and say, let's reevaluate. And a lot of times you could say, we're just going to keep going because we believe we're right there. And the Bills have chosen that approach. Maybe last year, like I said, maybe it was, hey, you know, maybe we take a step back. But I don't think it was intentional to try to step back. What I'm saying it was, I think they kind of knew that maybe last year would be a transition year. But lo and behold, here they go. They go to the AFC Championship game. They lose by 3 points, and Josh Allen wins the MVP. I think this year is more of a, we're back with our core. We have this core locked up. These are guys in their prime. We like this group we're bringing in. Let's go forward. And let's talk about the group they're bringing in, right? I mean, the 2025 Buffalo Bills draft class, I mean, I've described it as this year maybe, I'm not saying these guys are complete risks, right? I don't want to say it the wrong way. But I do think there's an element to the Bills taking a little bit more of a swing this year on some high-end talent than they have in years past. Meaning, maybe in years past, you'd say, this guy is going to really, really help us. He's going to come in. He's going to be a nice player for us. You know, his ceiling might be not Hall of Famer, I mean, that's even, maybe he'll never be an all-pro, but he's always going to be consistent. He's always going to play for us. He's going to be available. He's going to play. He's going to help us. He's going to help our depth. And you need players like that. And I think that's how Brandon Bean has drafted in his tenure. For the most part, I think his drafts have been very good players, solid foundations who can come in, who can develop, who can play. And I'm talking about, you know, sixth-round picks like a DeMar Hamlin and Dane Jackson, a seventh-round pick, right? These guys have played. Jaquan Johnson was, what, a fifth- or sixth-round pick, and he plays for 4 years in special teams. I see people look at him and go, that's a wasted pick. No, it's not. It's a really good pick at that juncture of the draft to have a guy that plays 4 years for you as a core special teamer. But those guys, and then, of course, you have your first and second-rounders, and we know Josh Allen is elite and amazing, but you have some guys that have not panned out. There's no doubt about that. And some guys who have, but they've been nice players. I think what you have, though, is a real good collection of, compared to a lot of teams in the league, maybe, guys who've made contributions on good teams late in the draft. I think this year was more of a, this guy has a chance to be great. Max Hairston. There's a bit of a risk, though. He's smaller. He's not the greatest against the run. We love guys who are physical against the run, playing corner. This guy has great ball skills. He has great speed. His traits are off the chart when it comes to that. TJ Sanders, maybe the best interior pass rusher in the entire draft. Is he going to hold up against the run if we have to put him inside? Not sure, but he does this one thing so well, right, that we need that to help us up front in the defensive line. Deion Walker, same thing. Yeah, over 300 pounds, like 330, whatever he's playing at. That looks like screams, okay, that's an anchor run guy. No, super athletic freak. He can play the run and the one technique, but we might need him to be an athletic guy to move up and down the line, and there's some risk involved here of how we're going to use him, when we're going to use him, but we think we can get big plays out of him. Things like that, right? Same thing, I think, with the guys like Dorian Strong. There's a long, athletic guy. Says he likes to play press man, but he's also been in different, you know, he can play zone defense. Chase Lunt, incredible athlete. I think he can actually compete for a job and a starting in a backup role. Guys that are on the roster right now. And then you take a guy like Caden Prather in the seventh round, who I don't think is going to, I mean, just sit right here now, I don't think he'll make the team, but you never know. A guy who has that size, 6'3", who can run 4'4", not elite speed, but really good speed for his size. So to me, I think the draft was this year more about taking guys who really can maybe have that ability to be higher end than what the Bills maybe have done in the past. I mean, James Cook. James Cook is a great player, right? He's had great stats, I should say. He's a really terrific running back, right? Maybe he's even exceeded like some of the numbers and things that he's done, what they thought. He was a second-round pick. I mean, James Cook was redrafted with what he's done. Wouldn't he probably go in the first round? That's a good way to look at it, too, sometimes. You say, well, that means you hit on a draft pick. The guy probably would have went higher than where he drafted because of what he's done so far. Then that means you hit on the draft pick. Right, but when James Cook was drafted, it was, okay, we need a pass-catching running back to fit into our system, and then, you know, we'll see if he can hold up. He's a little bit smaller. He's done that and then some. So I think this year, though, it was more of a focus on, let's get the guy with the high-end talent, get the guy with the high-end trait, get the guy that we need to make a play. We need to make that critical play at that critical time because we haven't had that, and everybody knows that. 803-0550, if you'd like to jump on board here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, so let's see what else we have. How about Jeremy? I think the draft more now. I like the draft. Sorry, Jeremy. Thank you. I like the draft more now that we got another wide receiver. And I think what he means is Elijah Moore. We haven't talked about that because that's not a draft pick, but I get you. I'm most excited about Hairston because he has athletic ability like Elam, but has way more familiarity with zone defense. Good point. Hairston mainly zone man traits. Crossover is going to be better fit than Elam. I agree with a lot of that, Jeremy. Thank you. I appreciate the tweet there at Sal Sports at Extra Point WGR. All right. So you could keep those calls coming. You could keep those tweets coming. I really appreciate it here at the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So Saturday night, I went to a meat raffle. Josh, have you been to a meat raffle? You've been to these, right? We've talked about this. I think it's come up before because I went to one several years ago, but this is the first one I've been to since then. Have you been to a meat raffle?
I've actually been part of the people that like run it. We used to do it for like a booster club for my school back in the day.
This was for Poncho's Army, a really great organization that, you know, kind of founded, started by and in honor of Pancho Villa, who, you know, passed away a few years ago now. Who obviously people might know when he made the announcement, Harrison Phillips and the draft pick, and you know, Poncho's Army. A lot of people said we're gonna, in his honor and his name, do start a foundation. And Anthony over there, and Warlock, who's called the radio station many times, and his call went viral on this show after the Bills made the playoffs in 2017. Warlock and Anthony, I'll thank them. They honored me and others, Steve Tasker being one of them, with a jacket, a really cool jacket. So I was asked to go to this meat raffle. That's where they do it, as part of this fundraiser for the foundation, which is awesome. So I'm at this meat raffle with me, Steve Tasker, Thurman Thomas, and a whole bunch of other people. The mayor was there, and there were people, Mayor of Buffalo, Mayor of Lackawanna. Like, it was really cool. It was a really cool time to be with all these people, but it was a meat raffle. And oh my God, these things are chaotic and they're amazing. And there's so many prizes. I mean, basket raffles, stuff like that. But the meat that was given out, I mean, it's incredible to go to. If you've never been to a meat raffle, I had a friend, I just told you, I had a friend come to town from Florida this weekend, her and her husband. And we said we went to a meat raffle. And they said, what is a meat raffle? And I had to explain it to them. And they're like, that sounds pretty amazing. I'm like, it is amazing. So that was a great time. So Saturday night, thank you so much, Poncho's Army. Really appreciate the love. Myself, the jacket was amazing. They put a Syracuse Otto, the orange patch on it. Couple other things, had my name. Pretty cool. So I'll cherish it. I appreciate it. Steve Tasker got a jacket of his own. Thurman and Patty were there. They do so much for the community to give back. So that was a really cool night. And then we had the softball game yesterday. The Micah Hyde charity softball game went off. Thanks so much to the Buffalo Bisons and Micah's team, the Imagine for Youth Foundation, and everybody involved. There was not a there was a chance, you know, because of the weather, that you know this thing wouldn't be able to go or have to be kind of moved around or something. And you know what? It just still went off without a hitch with so many great people there. So I'll get more into that a little bit later because I want to tell you about what happened in the Home Run Derby. But first, Margo is up from Buffalo. Hi, Margo. Are you the Margo that I met on Saturday night?
Absolutely, I am.
And thank you for coming up and saying hello. I really appreciate that. You
yes,
got it.
Yes, what a pleasure. So I tailgate with Poncho's Army at, well, pretty much all the home games.
Love
so,
it.
Would love to see you stop by, obviously, 60 Fay Street, if anybody knows.
I would love to do that, but unfortunately, I can't go to tailgates because my radio duties take over pretty early in the morning.
Yeah, that's true. But maybe, hey, I'll see you down on the field. Maybe I'll have my own jacket on as I get inducted. But yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. It was a great night, great cause. I didn't win. Well, I won a Barbie.
Okay, well, that's cool. I won some Italian sausage. That was my one thing of meat that I won, and that was
perfect.
Pretty cool. So we didn't go away empty-handed, so that was good.
Yeah, great. And good to see Steve Tasker and Thurman Thomas there as well. That was
nice. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, Margo. Thank you for being a great part of a great night. That was a really cool night, cool
Absolutely.
Cause, and we're gonna remember that for a long time. And thanks for coming up and saying hi, by the way.
Of course. Hey, go Bills, right. And I'll be talking to you again.
All right, thank you, Margo. Margo said, I'm the Margo that calls your show sometimes, so there she is. We'll take a timeout. We will come back with Sal Marana, Sal Squared. Time for a little baseball talk, and as the Bills get into Bills' rookie minicamp, we'll touch on the Bills a little bit here with Sal Marana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He comes your way every Monday during the summer months here, spring months, summer months, as we head towards football season on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. NHL draft lottery tonight. We'll get into that with Paul Hamilton at 11 a.m. He'll come aboard. And how about that game 7 last night? We got to talk about that as well. Winnipeg and St. Louis. I had to go to bed a little earlier than when that game ended, as maybe a lot of you did. And I really thought, okay, this is it. Winnipeg wins the President's Trophy and they're going to be out of this thing. Woke up and bam! Wow, pretty amazing comeback. In the meantime, though, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It is time for our new weekly segment every Monday here during these next several months. We're going to be talking with Sal Marana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. You can follow him on Twitter at Sal Marana, and, of course, subscribe to his Yankees newsletter, Pinstripe People, where he wrote a lame Yankees lineup loses to the Tampa Bay Rays. So welcome back in to explain on all that. Good morning, Sal.
How you doing, Sal? Thanks for having me once again.
Yeah, we're good, buddy. Hey, we decided at least until we come up with a better name, we're going to call this segment Sal Squared. What do you think about that?
I like Sal Squared. I think it should be a radio show. I've been saying that for a while with the two Sals on the Bills beat, so I'm glad we finally got it into the existence here.
You got it. And then when Sal Palantonio shows up, all hell breaks loose when he's covering a game yeah. here at Highmark Stadium. All right, so tough weekend for the Yankees, really. It really started, I think, on Saturday with that blown lead. What'd you see from the Yanks and the Pinstripes?
Yeah, you know, this is another indictment, Sal, on this roster that Cashman has put together. Look, I know that you lose Gerrit Cole, you lose Luis Gil. That was going to be a problem. We always knew that. But the bottom of this rotation is basically unpitchable. I mean, you just – Will Warren, I mean, they don't have a choice right now because their system just doesn't have a lot of reliable depth for starting pitchers. So they're kind of stuck with this guy. But he is almost you better score 8 or 9 runs on the days he pitches or you're not going to win. And the Yankees didn't do that yesterday. But you're right. This kind of started after Max Fried was just unbelievably great Friday night, and he's been great every time he's pitched this year. They haven't lost a game that he has started. You know, this thing got away from them. They should have won the Saturday game. Their offense was non-existent, but they were up 2-1, and they brought in Leiter, and he blew the game. He blew the lead. And then Sunday, Boone trots out that lineup that, I mean, it was a triple-A lineup. I mean, the bottom half of that plus the pitcher was a triple-A lineup. And I wrote this in my newsletter, I was rooting for a rainout when I saw that lineup 2 hours before the game because they weren't going to win. And sure enough, they did. And so, yeah, it's disappointing, but this is kind of who they are, Sal. I mean, they're in first yeah. place, and that's great, but I just don't see this team being sustainable because it's just not a very, very good team this year.
You know, and pitching-wise, you're getting to the back end. Schmidt gets scratched, so, you know, now you have to use your bullpen all day on Saturday, and then that happens. And then, of course, Sunday, things go the way they do. But now, all of a sudden, you get back to Rodon and Fried, and that seems pretty good, right? I mean, but after that, it seems like that's where the drop-off is coming right now, Sal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Fried has been tremendous, and Rodon has been very good lately. His last three starts yeah. have been outstanding. They've won all three of the games. You know, a part of me was thinking Sunday, Sal, as I was looking at this, that maybe they scratched Schmidt and just made something up because they knew they were going to go with a bullpen game on Saturday and Sunday with Will Warren pitching. I mean, Boone would never admit this, but I'm thinking to myself, maybe he's just punting that game. He'll use Carrasco, who was supposed to pitch Tuesday. He'll use him to back up Warren in this game and save Schmidt for the Padres, who they're playing this week. The Padres are one of the best teams in baseball. I mean, I could be out on a limb with my conspiracy theory, but part of me was thinking that's why they scratched Schmidt on Saturday, because Schmidt seemed to be absolutely fine, and they right away said he's pitching on Tuesday. So maybe they tried to line up, you know, they're going Rodon tonight, then Schmidt, and then Fried for the Padres series. That could have been part of it.
You mentioned it. Padres now going to Yankee Stadium. This is a very good San Diego Padres team that is in second in a division that is absolutely loaded.
Oh, that NL West. Can you imagine being out there and trying to compete with those teams? That is really a good division. I don't think anybody saw the Giants being as good as they are, but I think everyone figured it was the Dodgers, Padres, and the Diamondbacks are good too. But you add the Giants, that's four of the best teams in baseball, and they're all in one division. So that's going to be pretty interesting. And, yeah, the Padres, you know, the Yankees are, I think, catching a break. Jackson Merrill is still on the injured list for the Padres. He's one of the best rookies last year. He should have won Rookie of the Year, quite frankly. I thought he should have won it over Paul Skeens. He might not play in the series, but they still have Fernando Tatis. They've got Manny Machado. They've got three of their best pitchers are lined up to go in this series, which is not great for the Yankees. So, yeah, it's going to be a – this is going to be a tough week or a tough start to the week for the Yankees, I think.
Sal Majorana here on the Wes Herr Hotline. Real quick, last thing on the Yankees specifically, I don't think I could let you go today without asking about Judge. I mean, what he's doing right now, the season he's putting together. You know, he had a slow start last year. He had more ABs in spring training. They said he probably got those, not necessarily in games, but maybe, you know, in some simulated stuff as well. And it is really showing. I mean, for this guy to be hitting what he's hitting now, to add to the power is just unbelievable.
Oh, he's having a season for the ages. Now, again, it's very early, but we are watching one of the generational talents, right? I mean, this guy is one of, if he continues on this path over the next 3 or 4 years, which, you know, he is 33 years old, so there will be some regression. But if he continues the way he's going, Sal, we're going to look back on his career, and he will be considered one of the greatest right-handed hitters in the history of baseball. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. He's already got 2 MVPs. Yes, the World Series piece is still missing. Really, the postseason piece is missing because he has not fared well when he's gotten to the playoffs. But he's just playing so well right now. And as I wrote in the newsletter today, this is part of my concern with the Yankees is that, you know, Fried can only pitch basically once a week, and mm-hmm. Judge can't bat four times through the order. He only gets right. one crack every nine. And at some point, the weight of having to carry this team is going to be, I think, probably too much. They got a few guys, you know, Goldschmidt's contributed, Rice, Grisham a little, but Judge has carried them on offense. And you know, that's an awful lot to ask for one guy to do. So they better start getting some other guys on board, because if they don't, it's going to be, things are going to spiral the wrong way for the Yankees.
Sal mentioned it, his newsletter. You can find it at the top of his pinned his Twitter page, the pinned tweet, at Sal Majorana on Twitter. You can find it right there. It's Pinstripe People. Sal, who's the biggest positive surprise for you in a way that, like, wow, this team's really playing well in the American League? Is it Detroit already at 22 wins? Is it the A's playing over 500 baseball? Who's the positive surprise for you?
Yeah, I think Detroit is a good team. We saw them. The Yankees played them earlier in the year. I like the way, you know, we saw that last year when they came on. They were kind of nowhere mm-hmm. going into really the middle of August. They were kind of nowhere. And all of a sudden they turned the Jets on, made it to the playoffs. That's a very winnable division in the AL Central. So, yeah, I like the the Tigers a lot. The Mariners have kind of surprised me, Sal. Yeah. I mean, they're actually missing. They're a great pitching team. They're actually missing two of their best starters, yet they've won 20 games because their offense has finally started to come around. So they've been interesting to watch in the American League. Yeah, the A's are definitely a surprise with 19 wins over there. So those are the teams that, you know, I think we thought the Tigers would be pretty good this year. Wasn't expecting the Mariners or A's. I figured the Astros, because they're always the Astros, and the Rangers have been a surprising disappointment. Yeah. Their offense is nowhere right now. So, but I think they're going to come around and figure it out. So that's what I'm thinking about in the American League.
What about on the other side of that, though, the disappointments? I mean, I keep looking at the Orioles and going, how does this team 13-20 at this point? And it seems like there's no end in sight, given what I'm reading from people who follow the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, they've got a lot of great young talent on that team, Sal. And for some reason, those guys just aren't clicking. Now, and that's going to happen with young players. And mm-hmm. obviously, they've gone all in with those kids because there's 4 or 5 of them that start every day. I think they're going to figure it out on offense, okay. But their problem, Sal, was pitching. Their pitching is brutal. It's one of the worst pitching staffs in baseball. So until they get that situated, and right now they're without Grayson Rodriguez. I think Eflin is still out. So they've got a couple injuries. But until they start pitching better, they're not going anywhere in the American League.
We've talked about the Mets and the tremendous season they're putting together, but a lot of Pirates fans here in Western New York, is there any hope at all for any Pittsburgh Pirates fans out there listening?
I don't see it. I mean, that team has put together, they've got, you know, a pitching staff led by Skeens, who's probably, he might be the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, mm-hmm. when you're calling it the Paul Skeens day, every time he takes the mound, that's something. And they've got a couple other guys there that pitch pretty well. Cowher's good. But they're just, they don't spend any money, Sal. And I understand that they're a small market team. But you know what? Every baseball owner is a billionaire. So there's no excuse not to spend mm-hmm. money. They've got the money. They refuse to do it because they're trying to turn more of a profit. You know, billionaires got to be billionaires. I don't see any hope until they start, you know, I doubt the owner's selling the team. So until he starts deciding to spend money and invest in the team, no, they have no chance.
For my money, Sal, I would say the Braves are the most disappointing team in the NL. Maybe you saw this coming. How about for you? Who's the most disappointing team in the NL right now?
Oh, I think they're the most disappointing team in baseball. I mean, the Braves a team everyone was talking about in the preseason that they were going to battle the Dodgers for maybe the best record in all of baseball. And they would probably be the teams lined up in the NL Championship Series at the end of the year. They have been astonishingly bad. Now, they're starting to come around. I think they're 6-4 in their last 10. I mean, they started like they lost their first, seven games in a row. So they've played, a few games above 500. They're in a really tough division, too, with the Mets and Phillies above them. So I think for my money, and our buddy Dan Fates in Rochester here is a huge Braves fan.
I know that.
I even joked with him that he was starting to become like me on Twitter when it comes to the Yankees, his Braves tweets. And he actually said to me, you know what, when you told me that, I reined it in because I can't become you on Twitter. So I said, well, I'm glad I could help you out. But his Braves have really been struggling. But I think I also think that's a team, Sal, that will figure it out. I think they're gonna turn it around, and they'll be in the mix. I don't know if they'll win the division, but I think they're going to be in the mix for the postseason eventually.
Sal, before I let you go, what's the vibe in Rochester surrounding the Amerks? I mean, they're the first team through. They had a great first round, obviously. Devin Levi playing sensational.
Yeah, I've covered the last two games now. I'll be covering the rest of their playoff run. Was in Syracuse the other night for the game, and Levi was great. I mean, he was great in game two, too. He's got, the back-to-back shutouts. He hasn't given up a goal since 3 minutes into the second period of game one. And I think he stopped 90 and 92 shots in that series. And that's not a bad Syracuse team. I mean, they can score. They've got some players. Tampa Bay got eliminated, so they sent down this kid, Connor Geeky, who was up with Tampa Bay all year. And he was a stud in that game, and he couldn't score. I mean, he made some plays, Sal, that you could tell that was an NHL player coming down to play in the AHL playoffs. But they survived Syracuse, swept them right out, and now they're waiting for Cleveland-Laval. And that's going to be a tough series if it's Laval. I think Laval had their number all season. But they're playing well. The Amerks are playing well. And when you got a hot goalie, you can go far in the playoffs. So they've got a chance. Kulik being down here definitely helps their offense. So, I think this is going to be an interesting next series for the Amerks.
All right, Pinstripe People, that is the name of the newsletter. And here's the best part, folks. It is free, F-R-E-E. And if you see the blood, sweat, and tears that Sal Majorana pours into this about his beloved New York Yankees, you're going to want to be a subscriber and read all about it. Even if you're not a Yankees fan, you should be following Sal on Twitter for everything as far as baseball and, of course, the Buffalo Bills are concerned, at Sal Majorana, M-A-I-O-R-A-N-A. Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk again next Monday.
All right, Sal. See you soon.
All right, you too. That is Sal Majorana, Sal Squared, every Monday here on WGR. Love that. Yeah, really good idea. That was Sal's idea. Sal's the one that brought it to me. And he's like, hey, do you want to talk some baseball every week? I mean, it's the summer months, and we could talk Bills. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Let me just see. And this is a great idea. So thanks to Sal for kind of spearheading that and bringing it, and I'm really glad. We had a few people last week who tweeted me. They really enjoyed that first segment we did last week, and hopefully enjoyed that as well, because every Monday we're going to do this at 10:30 with Sal Majorana to talk a little baseball, a little Bills, a little Rochester Americans. So we'll get it all thrown in there here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. In the meantime, we'll take a timeout here. When we come back, a brand new champion is crowned in Buffalo yesterday. I'll tell you what that means on the North.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Town Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, what do we got going on here? The Ride for Roswell. That's coming up on June 28th, and you could be a part of it with us, joining the fight against cancer. Ride with Bulldog and the team. Once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt, water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. If you're not a rider, don't worry. You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for more details. I said a new champion was crowned in Buffalo. That is Dwayne Carter, defensive tackle. New Home Run Derby champion for the Micah Hyde charity softball game. Great time yesterday. Thanks a lot to Micah's team for the Imagine for Youth Foundation, the Bisons, and everybody for having me as the on-field MC. Saw a lot of our listeners out there. People, I know you might be listening, and you went to the game, and good on you for braving some chilly weather and some raindrops along the way here and there. I think it sprinkled a little bit, but nothing major. Maybe not even, actually, just maybe till after the game and the derby. But either way, Dwayne Carter, his first time ever appearing in the contest and the game, actually takes home the Home Run Derby Championship. He is the new... He took it from Spencer Brown, who actually won it from Josh last year. John in California chimes in on the Bills draft. Hi, John. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
Hey, first off, I watched the Karen Reed, Max Ayers over the weekend. And so thank you for pointing that out to me.
Did you enjoy it? It's pretty fascinating, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty wild. I kind of knew what was happening already at the end.
Yep.
You kind of spoiled that one, but it's okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I couldn't tell my wife. But interesting, I do have family in Kent. I went out Boston a couple years ago, Army-Navy game. I'm a Navy guy, but my sister was asking me if I'd heard about it. I said, no, I haven't. She said, like the split in the town, there's no sensationalizing that. That is for real. So,
right.
Anyways. But then after I said, I was looking, hey, do we have Court TV? Because you got to follow up on what's going on now. So thank you for getting
you got it, buddy. You got it.
Hey, my second point to the Bills. I love their draft. I think they've got playmakers. I love Landon Jackson. He's the one guy I wanted him to get. My question is, I'm going to choose my words very carefully here. The way they bring rookies along. I'm not saying they don't bring them along. I'm not saying they don't play them as rookies, but if you look career-wise, historically, the trajectory is always year two to year three. And so I look like 2 years facts. Where do they draft then? So I don't know. Who do you think these rookies? Do you think they play them this year, and we get an impact from them right away? I guess that's my only concern with the draft. Love it, but are these guys going to be impact players? Not 2 years down the road, 2 seasons down the line, but this season.
Well, I think, John, the answer to your question is, first of all, and this is what I get a lot. People say they don't play young players, they don't play rookies, and I know you're trying to say it the right way, and I get it. It is harder. First of all, they will play younger players and rookies if they, you know, deserve the spot and earn it and they have a spot for them. I've always said it's harder to play as a younger player on this roster. The roster's good. You know, it's not like walking into the Carolina Panthers roster as a rookie. You know what I mean? Like, you, there's who you're beating out. You're beating out guys who've been here for a few years. So I think that's why sometimes it takes a little bit of development, because you also have to wait for kind of a attrition to take place and a guy to transition out. Now, I do think, John, though, you make a good point, which is you need some of these guys to play more because they have gone through a transition. So I think this is a year where you do have some more opportunity for that, John. So I think that that's what they're banking on.
Thanks. I hope they're impact, and I hope we do get some spot plays from some of you guys.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it, John. Thanks for the phone call. We'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton on the way next. The NHL draft lottery is tonight. We had a couple of game sevens over the weekend, including a fantastic comeback last night. We'll talk about it all with Paul next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Alrighty, Paul Hamilton joins us on the Wester Hotline. It's been a minute, Paul. I appreciate you joining me here today. A lot going on in the NHL, and of course, tonight as well. So good morning to you.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How much have you been dialed in on the Rochester Americans? Have you been going over there? Did you go to any games? I don't know, and I apologize for not knowing. I know you've been following it along, but have you watched them from afar? Have you gone over there? What have you done?
Yeah, unfortunately for game one, well, not unfortunately, but I was doing a Bison's game during game one. Unfortunately, I couldn't watch a hockey game, but fortunately I was doing that. But game two I was at, did see them for game two, and then game three was in Syracuse. So yeah, definitely been paying attention, did see them in game two.
Devin Levi, he's playing spectacular hockey right now. Just kind of what do you make of his season and assess kind of where he is?
Yeah, it's he's done something with the Amerks only two other goaltenders have done in their existence, and that's back-to-back playoff shutouts. Bobby Perreault was the first one to do it in 1957, and then Mika Noronen did it twice in 2000. So only two other goaltenders have done that. It's interesting that they scored the first two goals of the series, and never scored again. Levi shut him down after that. Rochester scored the next 11 goals. And, here they are, on to the next round. So, Sal, you look at he's played in two different playoffs for them, 8 playoff games, and he's given up 17 goals in those 8 games, which is a 1.93 goals against and a .941 save percentage. He's been very, very good for them. And in 68 regular season games in two seasons, he's 41-19-8 with a 2.28 and a .922 save percentage and an all-star appearance. So, he's done, finally I think they've done the right things as far as, getting him down to Rochester, getting him the games and the starts that he needs. And, I think it's paid dividends for them, and he's done very well for him. He's not the only reason they advanced in 3 games over Syracuse. Of course, he's the big reason with back-to-back shutouts, but his team in front of him plays very well. In game two, he had 35 saves. Talking to him afterwards, he said he could see everything. And you watch him in the crease, he's very much under control, very confident, very out on his angles. You know, he'll fight for the ice when he has to. It was really nothing of, you know, he had to dive across the net and make some great save or anything like that. He's just very much under control now in what he does.
All right, so let's talk about the future then, because obviously you can't project that he'll be playing like that in the NHL, but the strides he's made at his age, is he ready for a regular role on the Buffalo Sabres next year?
Yeah, I think it's pretty getting to the point of now or never, but I think with this proper development, I think he has a pretty good chance of letting what we've seen in the AHL carry over into the NHL. And, you know, he started off as maybe the best goaltender that ever played in college hockey, and now he's been an all-star in the American Hockey League, and he's on a playoff run now with the Americans. And last year they lost a five-game series to Syracuse, but it certainly wasn't his fault. He played very, very well in that series along the way. Four of the Amherst gave them every chance to be able to win that series. So, you know, the resume would say yes, you know, that he should be able to translate it to the NHL and, you know, play well for the Sabres. It just hasn't gone well for him before, but he hasn't had this development till now either. So I think that's big for him.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Hur Hotline. Amherst, they are the first team through to the second round of the AHL playoffs. And, of course, the Sabres are getting ready for their offseason, which, Paul, we have not heard any news yet about anything. There was a report last week, Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts, saying he believes there will be some changes, small or big, in the front office or coaching staff. But that kind of happens every year, Paul, to be quite honest with you. There are always some sort of changes in a front office or a coaching staff. But is there any particular reason why you think we've heard nothing yet? And do you still think any news could come down on the Sabres as far as their organizational structure?
I think the only news you would hear from them is if Kevin Adams got fired. I don't think they're going to say that he's staying. I mean, he's been staying every offseason for the last 5 years, and they haven't made an announcement, you know, that he's doing that. So I if they have decided he's staying, I don't think they would make an announcement that that's happening. I don't even know, and I just don't know if they necessarily would even make an announcement about, you know, the hockey department or something like that, if they're making some changes. I think where the announcement would come is if they hired somebody. And they'd say, all right, we've hired so-and-so to be a scout, or we've hired so-and-so to be this, or we've hired so-and-so to be that. And the same thing might be the assistant coaches, too, if one of them are not coming back. I don't know if they necessarily would announce that. I think it would be more of an announcement that Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams have hired so-and-so to be a coach. So I don't know how they're going to handle that. But as far as Adams goes, if he's staying, I just don't think they would make an announcement that he's staying.
Right. And at what point is it the point of, okay, well, we can assume that's the case, and we don't hear anything, I guess, right? Like, how far do we go? I guess you could look back historically. I don't remember exactly when some of the dates were that coaches or GMs were fired. But at what point do we say, okay, he's obviously staying because we haven't heard anything yet?
Well, the Bottrell was, remember Kim said he was staying. And then within about a month, right before the draft, he was gone.
That's right.
And then Adams was hired right before the draft came about. So with Terry Pegula, you just never know. And I think one of the things, too, as far as, well, when did the meeting take place? Well, right away after the Sabres cleaned out their lockers, it was draft week for the Bills. And you know Terry Pegula likes to sit in on those meetings and be there for all that. So I wouldn't say definitely, but I would doubt it. He talked to Adams before the NFL draft. Now he could have done it. The draft ended on Saturday. He could have done it before he left on Sunday. I can tell you that was game two of the playoffs, and I did not see Lindy Ruff or Kevin Adams at that game where they normally would sit. And there's not too many other places they can sit there. So, I don't believe they were at that game. I know they weren't where they normally would be, where some of the other people like Seth Appert was there and others. So it's possible they could have had the meeting that Sunday before Terry Pegula went back to Florida. He does like to have the meeting in Florida. So, yeah, it would have been more convenient to do it before he left. But he might have said, we'll see you next week. you know, when you come down and, you know, then they do it down there. So, but I would tend to doubt they did it before the NFL draft.
Paul Hamilton here on the Western Hotline. Tonight is the NHL draft lottery. All right, break it down, Paul. The Sabres are in, what, seven right now, right? Unless I look, they have the seventh best odds. Is that what it is tonight?
Yeah, their odds right now are 6.5%. So they're in between the Seattle Kraken seven. And the Anaheim yeah. Ducks.
Yeah, that is seven. And so they can go up. I think you're allowed to go up to number one from where they are. But like you said, 6.5%. It's not anything. It's not nothing. But they can go up to number one there. But right now, sitting at the seventh spot. All right, so this thing's going to happen tonight. And what I just read was they're actually going to have the actual drawing live this time, Paul. Like, we've never seen that before. We only have the results given to us live.
Yeah, well, they've always given it to us. You can always watch it on after it's over. You know, they show you the actual, what they're going to show you yep. tonight live. Of course, there's always these conspiracy theorists out there. I mean, there's really no way they could have, you know, angled this towards teams and everything else. And at least in this town, because it was always fixed in this town until the Sabres won it twice, and now people have kind of stopped. It's like, well, okay, if it's fixed, that means they fixed it for the Sabres. Because they got Darlene and they got power, and so maybe we could stop that noise. It's a little bit interesting. I watch that tape a lot, and it's interesting how they, you know, sequester people in there. You cannot bring your phone in there, so you have no communication with the outside world. Each team that's involved can have somebody in there. It can be the GM, it can be anybody you want, but nobody can have a phone in that room. And they lock the door, and you are in there until it's over. And so it's an interesting process.
All right, Paul. So if the Sabres do wind up with the seventh pick or somewhere near there, I mean, they could obviously go up or down one. We talked about this before. Are you still in the mode of they should look to trade that pick? They don't need more younger players. I know you and I were both firmly in this camp yeah. recently. Are you still? Yeah. I know I am.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'd be looking to trade that pick for the right player. I know Adam said he was trying to trade it last year, and it just didn't work out. You know, there were guys that he was trying to get. He said in both cases, neither one were traded, although one of them was traded later in the year and just finished up a playoff series with Colorado. But, yeah, I think definitely, and I think Adams would be up for trading it too, to find that right partner for Owen Power. Or, you know, find that top six forward. As much as I like Zach Benson and I like the way he plays, you got to produce. And he may start producing as he gets older and gets stronger, but it has to be more than just what he puts in there when you're playing on the top line or you're playing in the top six. And right now I just don't think he's a top six player for this team, and I think they'd be much better off finding a good veteran to mix into that top six.
Paul, give us a timeline here on how they have to do things. RFAs, restricted free agents. How does all this look? How does all this work with a few really notable RFAs, obviously? J.J. Paterka, Devin Levi. You have several of them on the big club and even in Rochester. What are we looking at over the next several weeks leading into the draft? How does all this work?
Yeah, for restricted free agents, you just have to get your qualifying offer to them to retain them. Otherwise, they become unrestricted free agents. And I think they would I think all of their restricted guys would wind up with qualifying offers. So, and then, you know, then it's the unrestricted guys, which is July 1st. And they can start negotiating with somebody like Alex Tuch on July 1st because he has 1 year remaining on his contract. Once the next hockey year starts, which is July 1st. Now you've jumped into that year and you now are free to negotiate with him. Kevin Adams said that is a priority for them to try to get something done with him before his contract expires. So even if they sign something with him like in the middle of July, that contract does not kick in next year. It kicks in the year after. So he would be 30 years old when that contract would kick in. So that's where I think they're looking as far as the unrestricted guys. They already got the other two signed that they would want to sign. That's Zucker and Greenway. You know, unrestricted starts then. The draft is not somewhere we're all going to go somewhere. It's now NFL style. We'll cover the draft here in Buffalo because that's where the Kevin Adams and his staff will be, and the everybody else's staff will be home. Vegas was the last one where we all go to one place and have the draft there. So that will be at the end of June. And that's, you know, what they've got going.
It's always bizarre to me in the NHL how a lot of this works. I live in such a football contract world, as you know, Paul, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's so weird to me that you have the exact same number on the salary cap, regardless, depending on, you know, in the NFL, it's if you get a bonus and they spread it out and you can have this cap and then that cap the next year. In the NHL, it's all one uniform number, which does make it easier for math, obviously. And then not negotiating with your own guys until a year out, like exactly 1 year, July 12th, I guess, or July 1st, excuse me. Whereas, like, imagine that in football. I'm thinking, imagine if you couldn't give Josh Allen an extension until he had 1 year remaining on his deal. Be kind of weird for me.
Especially quarterbacks and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
How many times have they redone the deals?
Right.
You know, to help with salary caps and help.
That's right.
You know, and maybe the NHL doesn't want that. They don't want people maneuvering the cap like that, whereas you've got a big player and you just keep renegotiating. I mean, these are, and also in the NHL, all contracts are fully guaranteed. So that's another thing where, you know, once you sign the deal, there's no. It's a 7-year deal. There's no redoing it to be more club friendly or to help a player. Or a player says, "Well, I want more money," or whatever. You're stuck with it. I mean, look at what the Sabres have gotten Alex Tuch for in the last couple of years because there's no renegotiation. So, you know, he has had to play a very, very, very team friendly contract ever since he arrived from Vegas and is. Outscored that contract almost. I mean, he's only $4.75 million, and you know the Sabres have had him now for what, 3 or 4 years at that number, with the production you're getting from him. I mean that's crazy. But there's no renegotiation. He signed it. He signed a 7-year, $33.25 million contract with Vegas in 2019. So he has to live with it, and he has lived with it. He hadn't said a word about it. So. Now's his time to cash in, starting on July 1st.
Paul, did you watch Game 7, all of it last night?
Oh, yeah.
Did you wake up to the score today like I did?
Yep. Well, I did. Funny, I watched it all, and then I did fall asleep during the second overtime. I woke up about midway through. It was like when we went to intermission, I fell asleep, and then all of a sudden I woke up. I go, oh, good, they haven't scored yet. It's 10 minutes into the second overtime. So, yeah, it was great hockey, both of them. It's a shame that Dallas and Colorado had to play in the first round. But, you know, Winnipeg and St. Louis is a first-round series that is a right. That was right. It was number one against number 14. Just St. Louis played really, really well.
Did Connor Hellebuck just play really, really poorly?
I think they helped Connor Hellebuck play poorly, too. I feel that Connor Hellebuck, I think Winnipeg has to figure out a way to stop playing him so much in the regular season. They can't be rolling him up to 65 games. I had a conversation with Martin Brodeur, and I keep saying on the air, I don't want to say what he said on the air. He's free to do that if he'd like. What I will say is he disagrees with me on that. So he is another way. I'm sure he probably will say that on his show, but I just don't want to say something that he and I were saying privately on the air and then have him say, well, wait a minute, I was talking to you privately. I didn't want you to say that, you know, type of a thing. So all I say is, you know, as a goaltender in the NHL, he does disagree with me when I say that I just think Hellebuck's dead every year because they play him too much.
What do you think about the next round, especially Toronto, Florida? What a fascinating matchup from many angles, obviously.
Yeah, I would think Florida would dominate that. Toronto, I mean, all of a sudden got in a jackpot with Ottawa, but they were able to get through it in six games. They were, I think, a little bit nervous through that. But Florida, they know how to do this now. You know, they got to the finals, weren't successful, got to the finals, were successful. Same way Tampa Bay did it. Tampa Bay got swept by Columbus in a year they were supposed to win the cup. They made a few changes to their lineup knowing, well, we got the talent, we have to do a few other things, and they win two in a row. You know, and I think Florida is, you know, same thing. They went through the regular season. They were number 11 in the league. They don't care. They don't care if they're number 1 or number 5 or number 11. The regular season, just get there. It's almost like for teams like that, the regular season is preseason. Just make sure you're in. It doesn't really matter where. And then they know how to play when it starts the playoffs. I mean, they beat Tampa Bay in 5. I mean, I thought they'd win the series, but I didn't think they'd do it in 5. Tampa Bay was primed in that series to win game 4 to tie that series. And it was like late in the third period. And then all Florida, bang, bang, bang. And next thing you know, they're up 3-1, and they win it in 5. So I think Toronto's going to have their hands full. It wouldn't shock me if Florida took that in 5 or 6 games.
Who you like between the Caps and Hurricanes?
I think the Caps. The Caps had a little bit of trouble with Montreal, but then got through it. Carolina really didn't have too much trouble with New Jersey. Now, those are two series when I say I don't like the first round series being like Colorado and Dallas, but those two series were pretty much right too. Number 2 played 17, Montreal and Washington, and number 10 played 16, Carolina and Jersey. And Carolina and Washington got through, I would say, fairly easily. I would probably say I would go with the Caps in that. Carolina just does not seem to get playoff goaltending when they need it. And the Caps are a pretty strong team. And if Carolina has trouble in the net, they're just not going to beat Washington. And Washington really has played well all season. They played well in the first round. And I think it'll be an interesting series. I mean, I think it probably go 6 or 7, but I would think Washington would prevail in that.
And then let's go west real quick. We have the Vegas Golden Knights against the Edmonton Oilers. Should be fun.
Yeah, that should be fun. I think it's a 7-game series, honestly. I think that'll go the distance. Even though it's 3-9, I think it's too close to call. I think it's a good chance to become a good 7-game series between those two teams. You know, Vegas had some, Minnesota really, I think, played Vegas well. And then Vegas won the last couple of games and got out of it. And the Edmonton Oilers just have the Los Angeles Kings number. It's as simple as that. I mean, the Kings are a good team, and it was a good series. But in the end, Edmonton always beats Los Angeles and eliminates them. And so we'll see where it goes from there. I suppose if you press me, I would think Vegas would get through there, but I think it'll be a good series.
Finally, Paul, the Jets coming off their Game 7 win against the Stars, coming off their Game 7 win. How about the matchup between those two teams out west?
Well, Hellebuck pulled the Sox up after giving up 2 goals in Game 7 and got them through and to win, and you know, played more like he's capable of playing. But I don't know if that exercised all his demons. So I think Dallas. I would definitely pick Dallas in this series because of that. Jake Ottinger wasn't as good as I would like him to be against Colorado. I think he can be better, but he certainly wasn't as bad as Hellebuck was against St. Louis throughout the whole series. But maybe Hellebuck will build on what he did after St. Louis scored the first 2 goals of that game. And, you know, he pulled it together and played pretty well, looked more like himself throughout the game. So maybe he can build on that. And if he's himself, Dallas could be definitely in trouble because, I mean, this guy's up for the Hart Trophy for the league MVP, so and deservedly so. So if he gets it back and becomes himself again, Dallas is in big trouble.
Panthers at Leafs tonight, 8 p.m. That's our first game in the second round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And, Paul, I think during one of the intermissions, when are they doing the draft lottery? Do you know? I forgot.
7 o'clock.
I didn't see this. First or, 7. Oh, before the game then. Before
yeah.
the game.
Yeah, it's
okay,
scheduled
not,
for
not
7
during
o'clock.
The intermission. Okay, gotcha.
Last
Thank
year
you
they did during intermission. Now, I'm going by what they're saying. Now, maybe they're trying to put people to the game.
Right.
What did they do one year? They might have done a little bit of it and then finished it in the intermission. I seem to remember something like that. So maybe they're trying to just get the people at the game and then do it in the intermission, because you're right, they have done it in the intermission before. But right now, according to their release, it's at 7 o'clock.
Okay, well, there you go. And then the game at 8 p.m. tonight. Paul Hamilton at PHAM1717. All right, listen. I mean, I'm not planning on having you tomorrow, but if the Sabres get the number one pick, you're coming back on tomorrow, pal. I just want you to know that, all right? Have a great rest of your day, buddy.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, you got it. Paul Hamilton right there. And, of course, as always, you know what I didn't do? I didn't do Paul's read. Hold on. We got this year. I got to tell you who Paul is brought to you by, because whenever he comes on the radio, he is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. By the way, they're a good part of the softball game yesterday at Salem Field. Really great to have them out there. I saw Lou and his crew out there, and they help you bring Paul Hamilton as well, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. All right, we'll take a timeout. You know, I think, Josh, I'm pretty sure we still have one Bills draft pick remaining that we did not play his Zoom call with the media. We have rookie minicamp coming up next week, so maybe we should do that when we come back. Chase Lunt was drafted by the Buffalo Bills last week, and we didn't do that with him, so we'll replay that for you when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Chase Lunt with the Bills media.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf, and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com. Bills have rookie minicamp this coming weekend. On Friday, we will have media with the Bills rookies. We already had a little bit of that with some Zoom calls. The one we have not shared with you yet since the draft is sixth-round pick Chase Lunt, an offensive lineman, big athletic offensive lineman out of UConn.
Hey, Chase, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Perfect. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem. Is your video working?
Yeah, you want me to turn it on?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Awesome.
Perfect. Congratulations. We're going to start off Catherine Fitzgerald.
Hey, Chase. Catherine from the Buffalo News. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. Just what was getting the call like? What has this weekend been like? And just kind of, you know, that moment you finally found out.
No doubt. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It's been quite crazy of a day. I mean, I fielded in a couple like prank calls before it. So I was kind of like up and down a little bit. I didn't know like if anything was real or not. So I was just, whenever I got this call, it kind of made me feel a little bit more calmed down and everything. And it was just nice to see that the Buffalo Bills were really interested in me and everything. So I'm really looking forward to getting to work with them and thank them for everything, for giving me an opportunity. So it's going to be great. But yeah, I can't wait. So it's going to be awesome.
Okay, first of all, I'm so sorry that happened to you. That's terrible. But I'm glad that you finally got the call to make everything happen, and it'll be very exciting. How would you describe yourself as a player?
No doubt. I think I bring a lot to the table when it comes to my explosiveness and tenacity. I mean, I've been able to dominate players in my first step off the ball. I think I'm a really good run blocker, especially in the team that I was in at UConn. So I had a lot of great mentors along the way. I know Ryan Vandermark's a Buffalo Bill as well. So getting the opportunity to play with him, I can't wait for that. But yeah, I'd say I bring to the table in terms of that. And then also I think just my work ethic is something that's been driving me each and every single day. I've been able to formulate relationships with a bunch of guys on the team and kind of bring them closer to one another and be a good team player at the end of the day. So I think I bring a lot of good characteristics in this organization, and I can't wait to be a part of it. So,
and then what excites you about the Bills and just kind of like the scheme they're on and everything?
Really just how explosive the offense is. I mean, you look at guys like Josh Allen and then Ty Johnson, just example guys who can go out there and make plays on a daily basis. I know that for a fact. And you look at the offensive line room, they have so many great offensive linemen there. So just being able to be around those guys and kind of form a relationship with them as I come in there, I mean, it's going to be so fun, and I can't wait to get started.
Congrats. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Chase, congratulations. Elena Getzenberg from ESPN. Just curious, what were your conversations like with the Bills leading up to today, this weekend, and did you know they were interested?
I knew that they were interested, but I didn't know to what extent. I would say I had two conversations with them. I had one with them at the Combine, and then I did a Zoom with their assistant O-line coach, the guy I met both. But I want to say both of the meetings went really well. Just like diving into the playbook and everything and to understand things and getting to know each other on a personal level as well. So that was really forever thankful for giving me that opportunity. It started when I get to Buffalo. So
definitely. And obviously you're going to be playing alongside Josh Allen as well. Just any thoughts on getting to play with the MVP from this past season and protecting him?
No doubt. It's surreal, man. I mean, Josh, he's just one of those guys that you love to be around at the end of the day. So to get the opportunity to meet him and to get to block for him at the end of the day is going to be so much fun. I really can't wait to get to know him and really know all the guys on the team because, like I said earlier, I'm a big team player and I want to get to know each and every single individual as much as I can. So it's going to be great. Can't wait to get there and can't wait to get started.
Definitely. And I know you started at right tackle your entire career. Just are you comfortable at any other spots, or like what's your experience like playing at other spots on the line?
Absolutely. I think for me, I feel like I'm a lot more versatile now. I mean, yeah, I played 4 years of right tackle at UConn, but when I was training, I was working both left and right side. So, and I heard some teams wanted me as guard as well. I'm not sure if that's the case here, but if that's the case, then I'm willing to make the adjustment. And I know I need to do anything I can to make sure that I put our team in the best position to succeed, because at the end of the day, I'm a team player and that's how I operate. So,
awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Jay, Smokey Hawkins, Ruffles Sports 1080. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So just tell me what it's like to be getting drafted by a playoff contender team.
Man, dude, I can't wait, man. I mean, I know, like, that means that they're going to demand a lot more out of us in terms of, like, making sure that, like, we're up to speed on everything, but I'm willing to make that adjustment. I mean, coming from the college program that I just came from, I knew that Coach Morrow was trying to do everything he could to put us in the best positions to succeed each and every single day, and I know Coach McDermott's going to do the same. So I'm just going to go in with my head down, make sure that I'm sharpening my sword each and every single opportunity I get, because I know the standard that it is to be on this team, and like, we want to win Super Bowls, obviously, so we got to do everything we can to make sure that's the case, whether it's our preparation, getting in the weight room, film room, on the practice field, and even when you get out there on Sundays. So just making sure you're doing everything you can to maximize yourself whenever you get out there on the field. So looking forward to it.
Absolutely. You're getting coached by a guy with NFL pedigree and Coach Moore. So what are some of the things that he has prepared you for the NFL?
Absolutely. I would say this. I mean, I stayed at his house the last month and just picked his brain as much as I could, because he was probably the best resource I could get from any guy who's even been in the NFL that I know of. And so just spending evenings on the couch with him, talking ball, like getting ready for this very moment where we're at now. I think it's going to help me so much when I get to the NFL, because he taught me so much about life lessons, both in football and outside of football. He taught me more situational football than any coach has ever taught me in my entire life. So being able to understand that and whenever those situations present themselves. So I know when I go out there, I'll be able to execute at a high level. And at the same time, he also made sure that, like, we stay composed in high pressure situations. So just being able to incorporate all those things whenever I get to Buffalo, and making sure that, like, whenever I get my opportunity, I know I'm gonna do everything I can to make it really good. So, yeah.
Absolutely, my guy. Hey, congrats and welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hi, Chase. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem. So I got to ask, can you take me back? What happened earlier today? You got prank phone calls, like, from people pretending to be teams?
Yeah, pretending to be, probably got 4 or 5 of them. So there are a lot of oohs and ahs throughout the course of the morning. But I was able to kind of push them aside after a while and just kind of stay level-headed through it all. And I knew that my name was going to get called at some points. So just being patient through it all, I think, is what I had to do. But no. So, yeah, but I'll be all right, man. I mean, I'm glad Buffalo gave me this opportunity, because now I can prove a lot of these other teams wrong and know that I'm on a really good team in a really good situation with a great group of guys. And I can't wait to get to work with all those guys. And I can't wait to really hit the ground running here and whenever it is, a week or two. So,
well, I also want to say sorry that happened to you. It's terrible. When Brandon did call, what was that like to just go through that moment, knowing all of that earlier stuff is just kind of pushed aside?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those moments that you dream of your entire life, you know, just being drafted in the NFL. I mean, I'm the first person in my family to ever be on a professional sports team or get drafted to a professional sports team, besides my cousin. I think he got drafted to an affiliate for the Yankees in baseball. But it's one of those things that, like, you don't take for granted at all. I mean, you soak in each and every single moment of it, and just being able to, you know, just soak that moment in and to live through that moment and be there with your family, I think that's just a super surreal moment. I mean, you don't get moments like that happen all the time. So for that to happen the way it did, I'm kind of glad it did, because, like, now it gives me a chip on my shoulder, and I know that the team I'm coming to work with is going to do everything they can to prepare me and make me the best player I can be. So I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to get to work with this organization, and I can't wait to see what's in store.
And I heard you mention Ryan Vandermark. Did you guys have any crossover? Did you play together at all?
Yeah, so Vandy and I played for a year together at Connecticut. I had known him for 3 years, but I had redshirted. COVID happened, and then it was my first year playing, and my first year playing was his last year playing, and he was the left tackle and I was the right tackle, so we had some crossover there. But he's a really good dude, man. He's such a team player, and I can't wait to get to see him again and get to work with him again. It's going to be so much fun. So
awesome stuff. Congrats, Chase.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Chase Lunt, new Buffalo Bills offensive lineman. He and the rest of the rookies will report to rookie minicamp on Friday. We'll hear from them. The media will be down there. And then, of course, they'll be around this weekend for the rest of rookie minicamp. We'll have all your coverage at WGR550.com. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back, wrap up your Monday in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Get her the ultimate pass to relaxation, renewal, and pure self-care bliss for Mother's Day with our Odyssey Self-Care Passport. Enjoy 13 incredible experiences at select spas, gyms, and wellness centers valued at over $1,400. Over 70% savings at $375. It's all it costs. Go to getmyperks.com. Visit getmyperks.com to get yours while supplies last. Check it all out, folks. Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. Also, join us for a par for a purpose on May 19th and play in a foursome at Double Black Diamond Golf Course. A majority of the proceeds will benefit the 11-day power play. Registration includes lunch, dinner, two drink tickets, greens fees, cart and prizes. Visit WGR550/events.com to register now. Courtesy of Ellicottville Chamber and Commerce and Labatt. I'm going to be there. Jeremy, I think, is playing. We're in this team. It's going to be fun. Ellicottville, two Mondays from today, the 19th, at the at the Black Diamond Golf Course. Going to be awesome to take part in that. All right, so we got rookie mini camp for the Bills coming up. I sparked a bit of an interesting discussion, I guess, here with my tweet a little bit earlier. I said, and I'm going to read this to you. This is something that we can talk more about this week. Something I see a lot of regarding the Bills roster is a notion that Brandon Codrington and Laviska Shenault are competing for the same roster spot. They are not. Codrington was a fourth in the NFL in return yards last year as a punt returner. That's what he does. He's a punt returner who can return kicks, obviously. It's part of what he does. But he's a main punt returner. Laviska Shenault has never returned punts, folks. He's never done it. He is a good kick returner. He's got good numbers. With the new rules, the Bills are almost certainly going to keep two. They're going to use two kick returners, I should say. So both can make the team. Now, that said, I'm not telling you both. There's going to be room for two guys who kind of do a little bit more of the specialist stuff. That could very well be true, but they're not competing one-on-one against, like, who's the punt returner or who's the kick returner. To me, it comes down to, really, to me, it's can Laviska Shenault maybe do enough at wide receiver to actually crack the roster because they want to use him on kicks? Because I think Codrington's kind of like a lock right now. I mean, maybe a lock's too strong. I think Codrington's on the 53 if I do this now. Now, maybe Daquan Hardy can beat him out, and he does more at corner, so you know what? We can play him there. Maybe Elijah Moore could be that guy. Punt return, he can do, but he hasn't really returned a lot of punts. I don't think that's the guy they're going to put there. To me, Codrington's on the team, and yes, I know he was a healthy scratch last year late in the season, playoffs, but that was more for after the injury. I think they felt comfortable working Khalil Shakir there to make sure that the decision-making, veteran hands, decision-making, everything. But anyway, I just think that, you know, there's a lot of, I've seen this a lot, Codrington versus Shenault. I don't think it's that. Now, again, you could definitely make the argument, and I could understand and see it, and I think it's legitimate to say, at the end of the day, do we really have room with all the other things we need to keep a guy who's just going to return kicks and a guy who's just going to return punts? That might not be very fortuitous for the Bills. I get all that. I'm just telling you they're not competing exactly for the same spot, and you shouldn't rule out them both making it, or them both not making it, actually, to be quite honest with you. So that's where I see all that. I tweeted that out. You can find that at Sal Sports. You can respond as well. Good discussion. We could talk more about that later this week. In the meantime, Sabres Live is up next. I'm sure you're going to talk a lot about the NHL draft lottery tonight and that incredible Game 7 last night between the Jets and the Blues. One Bills Live starts at 1 p.m., and then it's Shope with the Bulldog at 3. I will join Mike Shope today at 5 p.m. So be tuning and keep it tuned right here all week long. WGR.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.